He said to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anybody says anything to you, say that the Lord needs it." He sent them off right away. Now this happened to fulfill what the prophet said, "Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the donkey's offspring." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the donkey and colt and laid their clothes on them. Then he sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. "Who is this?" they asked. The crowds answered, "It's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee."
If Jesus had entered into one of our modern cities leading the parade, he would have been arrested immediately for these reasons. The FDA wanted him for turning water into wine without a license. The EPA wanted him for killing fig trees. The AMA wanted him for practicing medicine without a license. The Department of Health for asking people to open graves, for raising the dead and feeding 5,000 people in the wilderness without a food permit. The NEA for teaching without a certificate. OSHA for walking on water without a life jacket. I kind of thought that was kind of funny. The SPCA for driving hogs into the sea. The National Board of Psychiatrists for giving advice on how to live guilt-free lives. The NOW for not choosing a woman disciple. The Abortion Rights League for saying that whoever harms children, it is better that they had never been born. The Interfaith Movement for condemning all religions. And the Zoning Department for building a church without a permit. A lot of restrictions we put on things nowadays. Everybody likes parades, don't we? Somewhat. Somewhat you like a parade. Why do you go to a parade? Anybody at all? Candy. Candy's a good reason to go to... When you're fat like me, candy's a great reason to go to parade. It's really good if you bring a little kid in front of you. That way they can scurry out there and get the candy and come back. But why do we go? Is there something special we want to see? Is it the float we want to see? Is it the, as we have here in Alpha, the big helium balloons that fly down? People go for crazy reasons. Is it the bands? Do we go to hear the bands? Is it to go see Annie back there dancing? Her and Kenna? Dancing behind the fire truck? Is it the guy carrying the bagpipes? Is that why we go? Do we go so we can hear every political person walk by and say, "Hey, I promise that I'll do this for you. Vote for me." And then the next one comes up and goes, "He's lying. Here, I'll vote for you." We see all of those people that come along. We all go to parade for a different reason. When we lived in Florida, they used to have these parades called Gasparilla. And this is where the pirates would come in on these big ships into the bay of Tampa, and everybody was dressed in pirate garb, and they would run around and they would take the city. That was their whole big party. And they would come in there and be like Mardi Gras. They'd be throwing beads out and cannons be firing, and people would be there gathered. And Lindy, one year, she got to meet Charlie Daniels, and he posed for pictures with her and this and that. So it was a great time. And the parade just kept going. And going, and going, and going. 3.5 hours of every very bad high school band that ever existed, of every piece of toilet paper in the entire community of Tampa stuffed into chicken wire and put on a float. Every person you could possibly say, "I want to be in a parade," they were in a parade, and you just kept standing there. because once you got down to Bayshore, you were trapped. You were part of the parade, because to get out, you would have to walk like 7 miles just to get back to your car. And then once you got in your car, the police would never let you leave because the roads were shut off, because the parade, all that length of parade, had to go somewhere. So it circled the parking lots. So you were stuck. So the attitude would be, hey, the parade's starting to, you were up and down, up and down. You were never really in the parade. Your attitude would go from being high to being low. Finally, you would see the grand marshal come by, and you would stand next to the person that you were with and say, who's that? Because the grand marshal had been somebody who had been selected from a long, long time ago that made an impact on the community. Our grand marshal in today's parade is Jesus. And there's things I want you to look at. As we look at the other accounts of the Gospels today, this story appears in all four Gospels. But only one Gospel mentions a donkey and a colt. All the rest of them say, hey, go to the city gates and you'll find a colt tied up there. Take that colt and bring that colt back to me. Now, this is what I want you to do. Joseph, you and Jenny, I want you to travel today. Go up to North Park Mall. Outside of North Park Mall, there's a brand new blue Corvette with the keys in the ignition. Just bring it back here to me. Only one will say, yeah, let's go. When the cops stop you, say the alpha pastor would like that car. Just bring it to me. That's what Jesus basically told the disciples to do. Sarah touched on that. Said, go get this man's colt. Bring it back here. Now, he was prepared for this. He gave that colt up without question. Because being a good Jewish man, he knew this text from Zechariah 9:9. It says, rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. Out of the four Gospels, he's the only one that quotes prophecy and tells you that this was predicted centuries and centuries before Jesus ever came into the city, ever before he came into the pageantry that was happening. And you ask, why is it so important that they ride on donkeys? Couldn't Jesus find a better way to travel? If it's hump day, he could ride a camel. There were horses around. He could ride a horse. He could be carried on the backs of the disciples as they cheered. But he chose a donkey, a colt. Because kings at that time, when they would arrive into a city, they would come in riding on the backs of colts to show that they were pure and came in peace. Now, most of the time, if we read history, we find out that those kings came in and they pillaged the area. But Jesus came and he arrived riding in peace. He came in pure, and the people celebrated. As this morning, we celebrated waving our palm branches and we're shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. You know, rise up and praise him is what we were singing in the contemporary version of Hosanna. We were praising him. We were celebrating him. We were living out the prophecy of what was happening. We're living out the prophecy today that we predict what Jesus is doing because we come with an attitude of celebration. But often in our times, we come in an attitude of not celebration. We come in an attitude of we worried about other things. We worry about, you know, structure. We worry about protocol. We worry about the person standing next to us. We worry about so much stuff that we come with a bad attitude. We come with an attitude of negativity instead of an attitude of positivity. There's so many times in my life that I fall towards negativity. I'll be the first person to tell you, for me to stand up here in front of you today, it's very difficult. it's very difficult for me to stand in front of you and speak. I'm an introvert. I love to live by myself. I love to be in the quiet confines of me. But to stand in front of you, I have to experience something different. I have to experience the attitude that's correctly given to me by God. Do I misspeak at times? Yes, I do. Do I say things that are wrong? Probably so. Do I react with a negative attitude at times? Yes, I do. That's my shortcomings. I readily admit them. But when it comes to praising Jesus Christ, I come with a positive attitude. I come with an attitude that God will equip me to do whatever He wants me to do and how He wants me to do it. If I say the scripture wrong, I said the scripture wrong. If I read a word that's incorrect, I read a word that's incorrect. All the while, God is still forgiving me, still providing the grace for me to realize that in my negative world that I like to live in, I'm still welcome. I'm still blessed. I still can experience the pageantry of the parade. I can still be there to shout Hosanna at the top of my lungs and proclaim that He is my King. Even with my shortcomings. Even where I tend to look at people in judgment. Even when I stand and think about, why are they like that? Why can't I look at myself and realize that I'm just as negative as they are? Why can I not experience life as Jesus has given it to me? Why is it that when God takes people and places them in a point where they're leaders, they feel inadequate? I come to you today a student of the Bible. I come to you today as a person who's learning to become what God wants me to be. I come to you today because He went to that cross and proclaimed He was doing it for me. I come today to proclaim Hosanna in the highest. I come today to ask forgiveness. I come with an attitude of change. Yes, I know when I do things a little different than some. I do things outside the box. I do things different than what has been done for 20, 30, 40 years. But I do them out of care for God's church. Care to experience life in the way He wants me to experience it. Every preacher you ever come across will tell you that when he walks into a sanctuary, we have grand ideas and grand hopes. We would love to see every seat filled. We would love to see every person paying attention to what we have to say. We would love to see no one going, wow, I didn't get any sleep last night. But we also come to you just like you came to praise God. That's the number one thing. The number one thing that hurts preachers everywhere is we never have a time to actually worship. Has anyone ever thought of that? A preacher never has time to worship because we're in a constant run. We heard our prayer list today. It's a run. It's not a short dash, 100-yard sprint. It's a marathon that continues to go. It's in being constant prayer and constant communication with God. Last week I talked to you about when we enter into prayer, we enter into the gates of heaven. And I couldn't think of a better place to be. Am I the most eloquent speaker when I pray out loud? No. Because my mind's going 100 miles an hour, but I'm thinking of one thing. I have the honor to kneel before the throne of Christ and experience the life that He's given me. I've entered into heaven. Through all the pageantry that's there, I walked boldly through the people gathered, watching them wave their palm branches and praising Hosanna in the highest. And I had the opportunity to walk to the foot of that cross and say, Lord, I'm a broken person. I'm a negative person. I'm an introverted person. I'm a person who has done things that are shameful. I'm full of sin. I'm full of anger, but I'm full of you because I come to your throne to proclaim today it's a new day, a new opportunity to change my attitude from it being about me to being about him. We read this scripture today and we see the pageantry. We see the celebration. We see the prophecy. We see the young donkey, the colt, being used because we proclaimed him the king and not the Messiah. He was the Messiah long before we made him a king. He came to save. He fulfilled the prophecy going through the pageantry. This week, as we enter into Holy Week, I ask you to search your souls. Honest and truthful searching of your souls. Are you a negative person like I? Do you need to change your attitude and leave them at the foot of the cross? Do you need to proclaim Hosanna in the highest as you walk the streets of heaven? The one way we can proclaim that he is king is by raising our voices with shouts of acclamation that he changes us daily from who we are. Please stand and join us in our closing song. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Fathers, we've gathered in your house today, Lord. We gather as a broken people, as a people that need to be restored, people that need to have our attitudes changed. Lord, I ask you to forgive us. As you've forgiven us so many times, just by grace, we've been saved. Father, as we leave this house today, I ask you to bless this meal that you've laid out before us. Use it for the nourishment to our bodies. Lead, guide, and protect us as you always do. In your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.